KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
And welcome to another edition of KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis, alongside Mara Carabello. Mara, I'm excited about tonight's show.
We have
quite a bit going on here. And by the way, if any of you miss any of our shows, remember you can always go back and listen to it on kslpodcast.com after the show's been aired. Just look up KSL at Night. So with that, let's just jump right into it because we've got segments from all over the place tonight. But do you ever have in your neighborhood drones? I mean, have you ever seen them sort of flying around? I see them once in a while at like athletic events, bike races, ski races.
That's where I notice
them. Things like that, yeah.
At events or out at, you know, a festival or a, you know, a 4th of July celebration. I have not, Greg, noticed one in my neighborhood, and I have yet to notice it at window level.
Well, a Draper couple did, and Andrew Adams from KSL TV is here to talk to us about that because, Andrew, this drone seemed to be doing a little more than just checking out the landscaping in the neighborhood, correct?
Sure. Nice to join you guys. Appreciate you having me on. So it's very interesting because in this case, these people have a great view of the valley. And so, I mean, I asked them straight out. I was like, well, so, a skeptic might say, so how did you know that it isn't just getting a nice valley view at night? But they're very certain that the lights on the drone, which tend to be in the front, were pointed toward their window. And it was just very bizarre behavior, as you mentioned, because it was sitting there basically a little bit above eye level, but in clear view of their living room, which would have been well lit after dark. And it was sitting there for about, they said, roughly a couple of minutes. And then it moved on to the next house, did the same thing. And then the next house did the same thing before the drone went out of view. They were very disturbed by that to the point where they actually called police about it. And police came out and investigated. They weren't able to find the operator.
What did the police say? Let's get right to what we should do if this happens. What was the police response to, we see it, we're totally freaked out by it, what I'm just going to call universally, I think everyone's calling it, creepy behavior.
Right.
So what was the advice if we see this happening in our neighborhood?
Well, and that was police word for it, is that it was creepy. And they do want people to report concerning behavior from drones. There is a recent change in the law, which we could talk about, which actually kind of ropes that into criminal trespass. So there are some statutes out there where somebody could, in theory, break the law with what they do with their drone. The challenge is finding these pilots, which sometimes the drone operators, they could be anywhere with the current technology.
Yeah, and I was noticing that the trespassing statute, Andrew, had been changed a little bit because of drones and considers a drone too close to your yard to be encroaching on your property in the same way that you could by physically walking on the land. And I suppose that's because we're just dealing with drones more than we have in the past, and people don't need to have a drone looking in their bedroom window. We've often thought, I think, and I'm sort of digressing a little bit here, that, you know, what you can see with your plain view is sort of okay. I mean, if a neighbor can see in your window and they don't have to use a telescope or something like that, it's probably okay. But drones have allowed neighbors to get a little closer, and I think that police, and you've talked to them, Andrew, and others, even the legislature, are taking a little bit closer look at that, right?
They are, yes. And they are taking it seriously because there are some examples like this one. Police also in Draper had another recent one where somebody was flying a drone close to windows of a hotel. And your imagination can wander on what they might be looking for when they pull up to one of those windows. But like in theory, that's bad behavior, shouldn't be happening. And they will investigate it. And it's just trying to actually find the people responsible that's proving a little bit challenging. Because there are, you know, perhaps back in the day, they were a little bit closer to the drone. But now, I mean, those things have quite the flight range. You can put them quite far up into the air. And so it's a little bit more of a needle in a haystack of actually finding that person who is responsible.
Andrew, as we talk about this, I mean, it reminds me of just how much now we're talking about technology. And how, as humans, are we interacting with it? In that vein, I know there is software, and if you talk to people in the drone community, there's software that can scan and detect unique drones. I don't think law enforcement, it probably hasn't had the need yet. Did Draper PD talk at all about the technology that would allow someone to identify who the drone belongs to?
They did not talk about that. And if that's out there, obviously that's something that probably could or should be a discussion. But it's going to be interesting, I think, going forward in how these local police departments, and some of them are big police departments, some are more smaller town police departments, how they deal with this emerging technology. Because you would have to think that there would probably be some expense involved in getting equipment like that if you were to encounter it. And then it's, I guess you could do a cost-benefit of an analysis of how often it's happening versus how often they put something like that into use.
Well, and again, remember, you'd still have to catch them. Like, right. if we're looking sure. at the whether that's a person or a drone, you'd still have to be in the right time, in the right place to be able to catch that moment.
In theory.
Right.
Yeah.
Andrew, we had a case in Salt Lake County a couple of years ago, a criminal case where a homeowner actually mm-hmm. shot down a drone. I take it Draper police are not advising that. Right. I mean, there's steps you can take and steps you shouldn't take. Right.
There are. And I think in a lot of cases, police would probably just tell you to let them handle it. I know that there's a lot of frustration on the part of the homeowners we interviewed. I think she a soundbite or something from the interview that I didn't use is she says, yeah, I wish you could just bat them down or something. She
yeah,
says,
right.
I don't want to say shoot them down because that's not the right thing. And I'm not that kind of person. But it does get really kind of intrusive and aggravating to people when things like these happen. And, you know, I'm sure people do wish that they could probably take matters into their own hands as we see in other cases. I mean, you can talk about that from anywhere to road behavior to anything. And I think in a lot of those cases, police will say, hey, let the trained professionals come handle it and figure out who these people
are.
Well,
in this moment, I am going to out my husband in prep for this show. My husband was in law enforcement for almost 30 years. And I asked mm-hmm. him if it would be acceptable protocol for a police officer to shoot them down. And I'm making a bunch of assumptions there that it's the right circumstances in the right direction. But ultimately his answer was yes. And he put a lot
of really?
Yeah, he put a lot of preconditions. Listen, it would have to be this, this, and this. But he said, yes, that would be an acceptable outcome. Now he was talking, I think, about a pellet, to be clear. I mean,
I was going to say, yeah, you don't want to use your 45 because the neighbor's close by. Yeah, I mean, Andrew, this has to be disconcerting for homeowners. And, you know, we have people who have absolute legitimate use of drones, even in neighborhoods. I know that a lot of realtors, landscapers, contractors are using them to get a lay of the land. And I don't know that there's an answer to this, but there's got to be some way or some, I don't know, maybe the legislature needs to jump into this so that we can distinguish good and bad drone behavior. Is this a problem that's waiting for a solution, or is this maybe a one-off, this story that you're talking about here?
Perhaps there could be something more. I mean, obviously, that's probably, you know, a question for lawmakers and above my pay grade. But obviously, when these issues come up, it does make you wonder. And we hear it not just from me, the reporter, but like from the neighbors, you know, what more can be done about circumstances like these? And it is kind of a fine line because there are a lot of legitimate purposes for drones. You mentioned real estate. Obviously, in news, we'll use them as well. Our photographers, a lot of them are licensed drone pilots. And I think you know, for commercial purposes, you see that often as a requirement. I think more the challenge becomes a lot of these are very easily accessible. Somebody actually gave me a drone. It's sitting in my closet. I haven't quite put it into use, but like I have one. I don't have a drone pilot's license. I haven't flown it. It's just sitting there. But I mean, they're so prevalent. I think they're in a lot of people's houses, and it's like, how do you make sure that everybody is A, properly trained, and B, using them like they should be using them? And I mean, that's a great question.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. And that was Andrew Adams, KSL TV reporter. And, you know, Mara, I do think that legislatively, like Andrew said, we've got to enact some ordinances or laws that help
at least keep up, right?
Help
keep
the
up
drone owners understand their own boundaries.
Yeah.
When we come back after a break, the Justice Department has brought a lawsuit against the state of Utah, specifically the Department of Corrections, for the discrimination against transgender women. We'll talk about that case right after the break.